Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. An all-Nevada edition of the Three Martini Lunch in the wake of the Republican presidential caucuses held there on Tuesday. We're pretty sure we've either got two bads and a crazy, or one bad and two crazies, but we'll let you figure that out as we go along the way. The first one is simply the results from last night. Without any interpretation needed from experts, Donald Trump scored a huge win in Nevada. Huge, you might say. Up near 46% in this five-man race. Then Marco Rubio was a distant second, about 20 points behind, and Ted Cruz in third place, about 3 points behind that. Ben Carson finishes a very distant fourth, John Kasich a very distant fifth. But apparently nobody's getting out of the race after Nevada, and we'll all head to Super Tuesday next week to see how that shakes out. And so, Jim, we're getting to the point now where the main theory for how to beat Donald Trump is to get this down to a two-man race. Now, Nevada might be different from other states that we'll get to, and it certainly looks to be different than South Carolina, for example. But when the front runner in a five-man field gets 46%, if you can get three other people to drop out, it's hard to see how at least 5% of those people don't end up with him.
Yeah, the margin for error amongst the non-Trump candidates is getting smaller and smaller. What's intriguing about this is, you know, there's a rather amusing post in the corner where they say, look, this is Nevada. This is a state where Trump is a major employer. This is a state that was built on glitz and glamour and, you know, legalized prostitution and, you know, all the kind of not so savory and sleazy aspects of the entertainment life that go with the reputation of Las Vegas. Also Area 51. On the one hand, you might say, oh, this is Trump's state. This is a state Trump is supposed to do really well on. Nobody should be surprised by this. Okay, except Trump's rivals weren't emphasizing this heading into this. Two, this, you know, if you can win Nevada and South Carolina, there's a range to Trump's appeal here, and it's kind of hard to hand-wave away this one. I made this argument with Bush, and while you're still seeing some polls that indicate in a one-on-one contest, Cruz can win, on a one-on-one contest, Rubio can win, guys, you can't take this for granted. And the more these guys get negative with each other, the more these guys get nasty with each other, the more likely it is that if you're a Rubio supporter and it comes down to Trump and Cruz, maybe you stay home, or maybe you don't feel a lot motivated to help Ted Cruz, and vice versa for these candidates. It's strange. The win in South Carolina should have been a big deal, but this morning it feels like there's been an earthquake. And a lot of people who I've encountered, Greg, who are like, ah, you know, Republicans aren't going to nominate Trump. Come on. It's, you know, people are going to wake up. They're going to watch. This is just the first couple. You know, there are people I think were in denial. And I'd like to think if winning three of the first four doesn't blow up your state of denial, I don't know what it would take, Greg.
As Marco Rubio might say, we need to dispel with this notion that Donald Trump can't be the nominee.
Yeah, there you go. We need to dispel it. Or we need to dispense with it. But
exactly.
We need to dispel with it, or whatever, which you keep saying.
Oh, amazing. And you know what also leads to more winning is winning. It's just they build one after the other here. And even in another bizarre headbanging against the desk caucus state where 70,000 Republicans in a state the size of Nevada is considered a fabulous record turnout, when you look at a smaller state like New Hampshire where Trump alone in New Hampshire got more votes than everybody who showed up for these caucuses and there were problems with the enough ballots and all this stuff and just general chaos, which might be one of the reasons at 3:30 in the morning you still had less than 50% of the vote counted on the East Coast. But still, that's pretty pathetic.
On the one hand, you've been hearing people had real problems in this caucus in 2012. And they swore to us that it was going to be better, that it was going to be more smoothly running. And they did, you know, they counted it relatively quickly by Nevada time. If you're on the East Coast, it's tough. But there were still anecdotes of people getting more than one ballot, confusion at some polling places. One of our correspondents took a picture of a vote counter, Greg, who was wearing a Make America Great Again hat and a Trump t-shirt. If you're not a Trump fan, does that unnerve you, right? Does that look bad? You know, for obvious reasons, people, you know, would like to think the people who are counting the votes are as neutral or at the very least not as overtly in favor of one candidate as we saw, at least in that particular example.
Well, if he's the only one counting the votes, that would definitely be a little bit unnerving if you're for one of the other candidates. But let's move on to...
Whoops, I dropped that ballot.
On to the second martini. This could be bad or crazy. And, Jim, it's one thing to beat expectations in Iowa and maybe New Hampshire and claim that you still got a lease on life. But now that Trump has scored three very convincing victories in a row, saying you finish second or a competitive third isn't really that impressive anymore, yet that seems to be the pitch from both Cruz and Rubio. Cruz, of course, won Iowa, then finished a distant third in New Hampshire, and third again in South Carolina and Nevada. But because he won Iowa, he says people need to stick with him because he's the only one who's proven he can beat Donald Trump. Marco Rubio's finished second in the last two, so he claims he's had momentum, but he's effectively 0-4. And the two times he's been in second place, he hasn't been that close to first place. And he says he's the only one who can take down Donald Trump, and that finishing second again is a huge moral victory for him. But moral victories don't win delegates, and they don't win nominations, and these guys need to come up with different talking points because getting shellacked three states in a row isn't getting the job done.
Greg, which football coach foresaw this scenario and gave us the necessary advice?
Herm Edwards.
Yeah. You play to win the game. You don't play it to just play it. And as somewhere have saved the entire monologue. It's so perfect. It says so much about football and life and all that stuff. It's a longer version of do or do not. There is no try. This whole conversation has me very disturbed. The idea that any of these guys think that they're going to get the nomination by racking up enough second place victories and enough third place. It's a really close third and all that stuff. Look, you know, we said in the previous martini, this was always going to be a tough state for Trump opponents. But having said that, good heavens, you got to win somewhere. And yes, it's great that, Rubio's come in second, the last two times. And it sounds like he's closing very well. And it sounds like the last couple of days, people really gravitate to him. But he's got to win a primary at some point. And at this point, you're kind of left questioning, where is that going to be? We haven't had polling in Florida in a while, but the last three had Trump ahead, right? Where does Rubio win a state? It's a tough question that's going to dog the Rubio campaign until he goes out and wins a state.
Yeah, absolutely correct. And, it's one thing to finish second many times, but that's only effective if the same person doesn't keep finishing first.
Yeah, and let's face it, these second place finishes aren't exactly close.
No.
If you doubled Rubio's level of support, he would have just edged out Trump.
Yes, and I believe at this point Rubio and Cruz have the exact same number of delegates, yet both sides are going, it's obvious that you need to drop out.
Yeah, the AP count I was looking at had Cruz with one more delegate than the other. And because of my overwhelming one delegate lead, you have no choice but to leave the race, Marco Rubio.
All right. Well, on to what's definitely a crazy martini. Trump, of course, gave a victory speech, which was very Trumpian. He loves Nevada. He loves the polls. And apparently now he even loves the entrance or exit polls. He just loves data, I guess. And so he was going.
I love numbers. Numbers have always been very good to me.
So he's rattling off the different demographic groups that he won on Tuesday night, and that led to this.
We won the evangelicals. We won with young. We won with old. We won with highly educated. We won with poorly educated. I love the poorly educated.
I love the poorly educated. Jim, I think this is going to be a classic Rorschach test. If you love Donald Trump, you're going to say, yes, he actually cares about me, and he wants to elevate me and get me back on the path to the American dream. And people who don't like Donald Trump are going to say, well, of course you like the poorly educated because they're the only people you can get to vote for you.
Greg, how much money do you think I could get selling poorly educated for Trump hats and T-shirts and,
More than I would have thought 7 months ago.
I assume he's just reciting things off, but Freudian slip, Kinseyan gaffe, fight it however you want. Indeed, Donald, indeed.
Well, Jim, Super Tuesday, I think there's 14 states on the line in a week. And, of course, we've got South Carolina for the Democrats on Saturday, and which I'm sure the media will once again declare that this is over on the Democratic side. But gear up, people. The national race begins now. And out of 14 states, we'll see how many Trump takes. My guess is it's double figures at this point, wouldn't you assume?
Yeah, Nevada has voted, but look, that doesn't mean we're done with desert landscapes because next week is Thunderdome.
Jim, we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Have a good one.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today, and be sure to tune in again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.